Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome back to the Jeff Press Podcast. My name is Justin Fried, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Mike Luciano. Mike, in typical Jet Press Podcast fashion, we have breaking news that the Jets just tweeted out as of 1 minute ago, and guess which position it has to deal with? Wide receiver.
Dare I say wide receiver? Because that seems to be a running theme on this show.
We have breaking Jets wide receiver news. The Jets have officially activated Mike Williams off the PUP list. He's back. That is very encouraging that he's back before the first preseason game. He's back before the first preseason game. We'll get into that. We'll get into to Brandon Ayuk and all that stuff. And Jets 53-man roster projections. We got the preseason first game coming up this Saturday. Mike, how are you feeling today on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon?
I'm feeling as good as Mike Williams in that I'm off the PUP list. Kind of a crappy day outside, but who cares? I'm inside because I'm recording for the Jeff Press Podcast. So thank you. Wherever you may be, I don't know if you got a day off work. I don't know if you're maybe sneaking us in. I don't know where you may be.
Sure.
Getting ready for a nice day with a lovely lady. Wherever you may be, thank you for spending part of your day with us. As always, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts. That's where we are. And we're on YouTube, so you can like the stream. Big help. You can subscribe. Big help. Just to like get us more into the YouTube algorithm to pump us out and put us all over these interwebs. But
yes, sir.
Let's take a little bit of a detour. It doesn't have to be too long of a detour. We're just stopping off, you know, I-95, going to go and, you know, use the bathroom at the rest area, get a Coke, and head back on the road. We're going to go talk about Mike Williams.
Let's talk about it.
Because Mike Williams is off the PUP list. Expected, I feel like, but still something you want to see. Now, me and you have gone back and forth about how much of an injury risk he really is, because a lot of his injuries do seem like more freak incidents and less degenerative Todd Gurley-esque things where it's part of your muscles or your bones where you're like, okay, this isn't going to get much better. You just have to sort of mitigate it, and then it'll be 85%. If we get that out of him, it'll be pretty good. Like, I could see why some people say, well, he's not that injury prone because they're freaks. I'm like, yeah, but they keep happening a lot. But For the moment, we could put all that to rest. We put all that to rest because he is healthy, and he's going to slide right as the number two wide receiver. I'm interested to see if they play him in the preseason. I think they will a little bit. I think they should. I know we've gone back and forth about Aaron Rodgers playing in the preseason. We're both in agreement on that, about how no reason to risk it. Starting quarterback franchise, if 8 goes down again in the preseason, That would break a lesser man, and I would not fault you for it one bit. But Williams is a guy I could see playing in the preseason, just because so much of his game is speed and getting vertical. You kind of want to see that with live bullets flying against actual cornerbacks trying to stop him instead of running on air or running against other guys who are wearing shorts. you want to see him kind of have that same explosion. Because if he doesn't, this could be a pretty poor signing. Because he was never the best, you know, route runner, going over the middle, short kind of guy. Mike Williams is about going deep. That was from the time he was at Clemson to his time with the Chargers to now. That's been his hallmark. So if they play him in the preseason and we get some of those old school Mike Williams moments, I'll feel much more confident heading into the season about their wide receiver room.
Yeah, for sure. I'm very encouraged that it's this early. I don't know when I was expecting that he would get activated. And of course, it's going to be an acclimation process. He's not going to play this Saturday. I can guarantee you that. I don't know if he's going to play in the preseason at all. If he does, it's probably that last game. I imagine that would be like maybe they give him a drive or two. Like, it's probably the same with Rodgers. Like, if they do play him, it'll be very brief. It won't be very long. But it was very nice to see him back. I know that the Rodgers had said that Williams was ahead of schedule and that the Jets were very pleased with his progress. They kind of hinted that he was on a similar trajectory to the path that Breece Hall was on last year. And if I remember correctly, I don't think Breece Hall was activated until the second or third week of August. I think it was like 15th, 16th was around when he was activated. So this is a little bit ahead of schedule, a little bit ahead of where Breece Hall was at, which is very, very encouraging for a guy who is an integral part of this offense, like a very, very, very important part of this offense. We talk about all the injury concerns that this Jets offense has, that the Jets team has going into the season. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, obviously the offensive line. But I mean, one of the biggest other or the other biggest thing is Mike Williams, because the rest of the wide receiver room behind Mike Williams is not very good. I mean, who knows what Malachi Corley is going to be, but we have an idea of what Xavier Gibson is and what his strengths are and what his ceiling is. And then after that, you're relying on Alan Lazard to have a bounce back year, or a Jason Brownlee, or a Malik Taylor. It's not good. Like, the Jets are one wide receiver injury away to either Garrett Wilson or Mike Williams away from having a not good wide receiver room. So having a healthy Mike Williams is so, so, so important for this offense. And now he's got a month. He's got a month to ramp up before the week one, before the regular season starts. I know there were some people, I think we were talking about it in chat, that were like concerned that Williams wouldn't be ready for week one. I didn't have that concern. I mean, I know Robert Saleh doesn't have the best track record with injuries, but they had remained pretty confident and been very vocal that they expect him to be ready for the regular season. This certainly indicates that he will be. I don't know when he'll be returning to practice fully, and I don't know if he'll play in the preseason, but it's great to have him back. It's nice to be able to get some reps under his, you know, under his belt before week one arrives, and develop some chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, because this is a guy he has not really, obviously he hasn't played with. So it'll be nice to see that. And I'm very happy. I'm very, very encouraged that he is off the PUP list earlier than I expected.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, I don't necessarily want to play the entire game.
Oh, of course.
Just a couple quick, you know, what do they call it when they fly planes? They just do a couple quick maneuvers.
A flyover or something?
Not a flyover, but like they go up once, make sure everything's good and come back down. Oh, God, there's a term for it. It's driving me crazy.
I don't know. Sorry.
Dang. I'm going to look it up after the show and
sure,
I'm going to
go for it.
Yeah, but just not touch and go. It might be touch and go. I don't know. Maybe. Just to make sure everything's working.
Did Brees play in the last preseason game last year?
I don't think he did. That was against the Giants, right?
Yeah. And he was activated.
Like Aaron Rodgers lone Jets touchdown pass.
Yep. And then pissed off Jahad Ward. He was activated. Brees was activated a week after.
Brees did not play in that game.
Right. So Brees was activated a week after Williams, which that could change things. But Brees Hall didn't play in the last preseason game. Makes me think Mike Williams won't play either. But even if he doesn't, getting those training camp reps, that is super, super important.
Oh, here's something. Zonovan Knight led the team in rushing.
Zonovan Knight. Bam Knight.
Tim Boyle, 9 of 11, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks.
Unironically, the best game of his career. Of his career.
If only we knew.
Unironically. What happened? Look, we're talking about that. We're gonna be watching Andrew Peasley. No offense to Andrew Peasley, who's probably a wonderful person, but we're seeing Andrew Peasley, you know, touchdowns to Lincoln Sefcik. Shout out to the few Jets fans who know who that person is right now.
Is he even on the dead?
He's like a tight end, fullback, H-back kind of guy. Yeah.
Wow, he wasn't even on the Our Lads page under. He was buried under that. Oh my God,
it's not surprising. I mean, he's probably like the fifth tight end on the depth chart right now. But anyway, yeah, I'm very happy.
I'm going to Hamza El-Zayat because he's a wide receiver wearing 34, and
he's made some plays this summer. I think they're going to keep him around. We're jumping ahead of ourselves to like the 53-man roster projection we're going to do, but I think they're going to keep him around the practice squad as like a developmental slot guy who can also return kicks. But we're jumping ahead of ourselves. Happy Mike Williams is off the PUP. Definitely encouraging. And, you know, man, look, we wouldn't be a Jet Press podcast in the summer without some random breaking wide receiver news right before we start.
Oh, we are doomed to repeat it. So moving on. By the way, Hamza also reminds me of Azahir Hakim from those old Rams teams. So sure. Maybe I'm just getting my Pavlovian going with him just because of the name. But we will move on to a Patriots wide receiver trade that did not go through.
Yep.
Now, this has been a really weird trade saga, the whole Brandon Ayuk thing, because one insider will say he's going to the Steelers, then another will say he's going to the Patriots, then another will say he's going to neither, then another will say he's going somewhere, but not the 49ers, but not the other one. It's really bizarre. And for a guy who's probably the fourth best receiving threat on his own team, I find it kind of...
Tell me I'm wrong. I am also not as high on Brandon Ayuk as others. You saying that out loud made me go, ooh, but you're not. I think he's still a better receiving threat than Kittle at this stage. But I don't hate the, you know, putting...
You could also say Kittle's a better tight end than he is a receiver.
Yes, I agree with that. But there's also so many more superstar receivers in the league than there are star tight ends, you know.
He's not even as good a receiving threat, I would think, as his running back. I think McCaffrey is, you could argue.
Sure.
And then Debo, I think, is. But anyway, he's still a very good player, just not $30 million a year player. New England, the Patriots wanted to give him that $30 million a year contract he's been seeking via a trade, and he said no. He said, you can take your $30 million and stick it up your rear end because I ain't going to Foxborough.
I'm sure verbatim. That is verbatim what Brandon Ayuk
said. Yeah, he said it just like me too.
Correct.
So he said, listen here, Jack. He said, listen here, buddy. But I am still thrilled that this didn't go through, even with all my Ayuk slander before that, because I'm not used to this period of, dare I say, Patriots incompetence that kind of started last year. Actually, maybe 2 years before with the whole Matt Patricia thing. Yeah. Like I'm loving it because for so long that was us and that was everybody else except them in the division. And now how the tables have turned, Patriots are at the bottom. This would be a competent move because eventually Drake May is going to be the guy. The receivers right now are very bad. I think Jalen Polk will be okay, but is Jalen Polk really going to be a number one receiver? Probably not.
Javon Baker season.
Javon Baker season. Yes, he becomes the third wide receiver in a bad passing offense.
Right. Okay. Look, they got Kendrick Bourne and Javon Baker, who are now two of my favorite wide receivers in the league.
So. Yeah, and as they both are behind Juju in an offense that won't throw the ball. But their fortunes could have changed if they got Ayuk, and they didn't. So I'm happy with that. I'm happy with depriving Drake May and Jacoby Brissett of any weapons they may have.
Yep.
And I'm happy that the Patriots didn't get any sort of just new boost of like, all right, we're old guys are gone. Think about the old days. They're the old days. We're the new kids in town. They could have really put their stamp on that with Ayuk, and they didn't do that. Well, they tried to, but
they did.
Ayuk told them no, so I'm happy for that. I'm still not saying the Patriots are going to be a cakewalk, but offensively, I don't think they're very good, and this keeps them very bad offensively.
Yeah, the Ayuk situation is I hate to use like the not even coach speak, but like reporter speak and saying it's a fluid situation, but I think this is going to, if you're listening to this after the fact, if you're not watching this live or listening to this live, this is probably going to be an outdated conversation because I do think that the Ayuk situation will be resolved within the next 24-ish hours, maybe, it seems like it. My understanding of it, putting, you know, reading between the lines, listening to Ricky on Twitter, shout out Ricky, he knows his stuff, and kind of just reading in between the lines of all the other reports as well. My understanding is that Brandon Ayuk wants to go to Steelers, and that's been pretty clear from the start, I think.
I thought it was the Commanders is what he really wanted.
The Commanders were in there too, but I don't think the Commanders are nearly as interested.
And the Raiders, but yeah.
I didn't see anything.
From Vegas.
Yeah, it's become clear, I think, that it's like he wants the Steelers. He did not want the New England Patriots, and he does not want the Cleveland Browns. Again, maybe that ages poorly in 24 hours. I don't think it will. I think he will end up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would be surprised if he was not traded to the Steelers at this point. But yeah, the Patriots are very aggressive. They really, really, really wanted him. They were willing to make him a top five highest paid receiver in the NFL, which I wouldn't be willing to do that, but they were willing to do that. He just didn't want to go there. We don't really know exactly what his motivations are, but my guess is he wants to play for Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin carries a lot of weight in the NFL. I also think Justin Fields is a lot more liked by players around the league than he is by teams. I think that Fields is someone that a lot of players would love to play with, even if teams don't value him nearly as much as players seem to do. So that probably possibly plays a role. Maybe it's a Russell Wilson thing too. I don't know. But Brandon Ayuk wants to play for the Steelers, which, I mean, to go on off on a tangent for a second. Digress. Thank you. That's the word. To digress. thank you. You telepathically told me that. To digress for a moment, it seems as though the Steelers kind of have the leverage in the situation, as does Ayuk. So I don't think they're going to get a first-round pick for him. I don't think the Niners are going to get anything near what his value is, because while Ayuk doesn't have a no-trade clause, he can just simply not sign an extension with whatever team trades for him. So whatever team is trading for him has to know that he's going to sign an extension. So he has an unofficial no-trade clause. If Ayuk doesn't want to go to the Patriots, if he doesn't want to go to the Browns, he will not be going there. So I think the Steelers are probably going to end up getting him for second-round pick, maybe another pick, maybe a player. Calvin Austin is someone who's been thrown out there. It's not going to be a George Pickens. I don't think it's even going to be a Pat Freiermuth. It's not going to be a first-round pick. They're not going to get a lot for him, and that sucks for the Niners. I think the reason this is dragged out so long is because the Niners are desperately trying to either get whatever they can out of the situation or maybe even convince Ayuk to consider other options. I think they'll both be fruitless efforts. I don't think that Ayuk is changing his mind, and I don't think that they're going to get significantly more from the Steelers. All of that being said, I think this is basically a best-case scenario for the Jets because he's not going to the AFC East because on top of the Patriots, the Bills were another team that made a lot of sense for Brandon Ayuk. If you date back to, you know, months ago going back to the offseason, the Bills made a ton of sense. They obviously need a wide receiver. They can afford the contract if they – you know, they don't have as much financial like cap space tied up in the future. They could have made it work, but they don't seem as – they're obviously not in the market anymore. They don't see – unless they're a surprise team. They don't seem to be too aggressive for him, and I get that. And he's not going to the Patriots. So he's not going to the AFC East, which is great. And on top of that, he's not going to a true contender. I don't know if Steelers fans are going to get – one guy was real mad about me saying that on Twitter. He came at me – added me, my personal account, just came at me, calling me all types of names because apparently he thinks the Steelers are more contenders than the Jets. I disagree with that statement. Call me a hater. I don't believe in Russell Wilson.
I think he's defensive because he's going to go play wide receiver for them if they don't get Ayuk because that's how thin they are.
Maybe he could even play quarterback for them as well because I'm not really convinced with their quarterback room. But, yeah, I don't see
this. Better than it was. I'll give him that.
Yeah, but I don't believe in Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields carrying the Steelers to an AFC championship game. I'd call me a hater. I don't know. If they have Mike Tomlin, their roster is good enough that they're probably going to win 8 or 9 games because that's what they always do. But I don't think Ayuk moves the needle too much for them. So I'm happy he's going there. And I'm honestly happy he's going there. And, well, you know, we'll see. Technically, Cleveland is still in this, but I'm just assuming that he's not going to go to the Browns. I would rather him go to the Pittsburgh than to Cleveland. I think that the Browns are more of a threat. We'll see what the hell Deshaun Watson is in the year 2024. He was not very good last year, but if he bounces back.
Or the year before,
right? But if he bounces back, that defense is still one of the best in the league, if not the best. They have a really good team. Their offensive line is still good. They still have weapons. Amari Cooper is still there, and even if they don't get Ayuk, they still have some weapons there. We'll see what Nick Chubb is coming back from injury. But I think the Browns are a lot more serious contenders than the Steelers. So if Ayuk is getting traded, and it didn't sound like the NFC other than the Commanders was a potential option. So if he is getting traded to the AFC, I'm glad it's not the Bills. I'm glad it's not the Patriots. And I'm glad it's not a true contender. No offense to the Steelers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm just looked at New England's depth chart now. By the way, Juju's listed as the third string slot receiver there, so that's
well, unofficial depth chart doesn't mean much, but
this is the most aggressively mediocre. Wow,
they're very mid.
So Polk and Bourne, Pop Douglas. Starting.
I like Pop Douglas. I like their young receivers. I don't know if any of them are going to be stars, but I like Pop Douglas. I like Jalen Polk, and I like Javon Baker.
Yeah, but Jalen Reagor, KJ Osborne, Kayshawn Boutte. Didn't he have like a whole gambling thing that got dropped? Tyquan Thornton's still around.
He's probably getting caught. I don't even think he's making the team.
He's a Johnny Lamb Jones for Gen Z or Gen Alpha, whatever the youngest.
He was a second round pick and not, you know.
And not number two overall. But he's a guy who he's better running the 100 meters than actually playing football. So let's go back to our big 53-man roster talk.
Yes,
because
sir.
We got about 90-ish players on the roster right now that will get cut almost in half by the time the season starts. And there are going to be some actual tough choices to make. Like me and Justin were going through our 53-man roster, and it got tough at certain points based on how many at a certain position you want to keep. There were some real tough choices here, especially a quarterback. What could they really do? Well, Jordan Travis right now is on the non-football injury list as he recovers from his, an ACL or a...
I don't think they ever said exactly what it was, to my knowledge. I just keep seeing it referred to as a leg injury.
Lower leg injury. Something like bad happened.
He tore like everything.
At the end of his career at Florida State. They don't expect him to play this year, and frankly, they're screwed if he does play, considering the amount of injuries that would have had to happen if he did have to play. But because of that, because you're on the non-football injury list, you can then bring somebody else on the 53-man roster. So this is great for people trying to make the team because Jordan Travis can give you a spot to make the team.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, do you want to use that on a third quarterback, which can then be used for that whole inactive emergency third quarterback rule instead of just having somebody on the practice squad where you got to call them up and down and worry about signing into an actual contract? There's a lot of logistical headaches involved with that. The top two are set. Aaron Rodgers, call me crazy, he's making the roster.
Whoa, dude, hot takes already. My goodness.
And then Tyrod Taylor is going to be the backup. So those two are set. Now the question is, do you want to devote an entire roster spot to a third string quarterback? And right now they only have two. They have Adrian Martinez and Andrew Peasley.
Yep.
From Wyoming. Peasley, I'm not particularly high on. 24 years old. Really one good year out of six in college, 56% completion career, and he's kind of skinny. He's like barely over 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. Wyoming did not exactly have a wide-open aerial circus passing offense. It was very – Craig Ball was the coach from North Dakota State, so it was I formation, run the ball, here you go,
yeah.
And then run, run, pass, Marty Schottenheimer stuff. That's where he came from, so I'm not too high on Peasley. And the other one's Adrian Martinez, who – if you're a college football fan, you'll know Adrian Martinez because he was supposed to be the man who was going to save Nebraska football and put up some good numbers, but he didn't save Nebraska football. Eventually moves on to Kansas State, gets hurt there, goes to the UFL.
Yes, sir.
The new UFL for the Birmingham Stallions, and he wins MVP. He's a champion, championship game MVP, and leads them in rushing. Leads the league in rushing at 528 yards. I think if anybody's going to make this as the QB3, I think it'll be him. Great athlete. Ran a 4.45 at 220 pounds. Fantastic athlete for the quarterback position. Obviously, there are going to be some accuracy issues that you got to work around, and that's why he never really saved Nebraska and brought him back to the Tom Osborne days, because he just could never take that next step. Like, he never really improved in any of his 4 years with the Cornhuskers, because he was always just kind of above average. But if they want to keep a 53-man roster spot and use it on one of the quarterbacks, which I think they should, just because I'm a big fan of that third quarterback rule. After last year, you could never have enough quarterbacks at the ready. I would keep Adrian Martinez and make him the third quarterback.
So is that your prediction? You have the Jets carrying three quarterbacks with Martinez?
Yes, it is.
Interesting. Okay, so we're already in our first position. We're already disagreeing about what our projections say. I have the Jets carrying two quarterbacks and keeping Jordan Travis on NFI.
Keep Travis on NFI and keep three quarterbacks too.
Yeah. Oh, you could. I don't think they will, but they could. You're right. Regardless, they're going to keep one of these guys in a practice squad. Like, they're not going to go into the season with just two under contract and the entire team. The NFI list will keep Travis out a minimum of 6 weeks. He's currently on there, so there's no, like, you know, you hear the term like roster gymnastics. That's only if you want to place a guy on IR. You have to do it after cutdown day. But if they're already on an injury list, whether it's the PUP or the NFI, you could just transfer them over without having to like take up a roster spot. So I imagine, based on everything we've heard from Sala this summer, it doesn't sound like Jordan Travis is close to returning at this stage. They'll transfer him over to the reserve NFI list. He'll be out for a minimum of 6 weeks, and then he'll probably be activated at some point during the year. I don't know when it'll be, but at some point during the year. Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor are obviously locks. The battle for QB3, you know, temporary QB3 until Jordan Travis returns, it's too early for me to say who it's going to be. It's going to be determined in the preseason. From reports that I've seen, Peasley has steadily improved throughout the, you know, spring into the summer.
That means he was bad to start.
Yeah, well, what you would expect for an undrafted rookie who played at Wyoming and, you know, was 24 years old. I don't have high expectations for an undrafted rookie quarterback, but he steadily improved. It sounds like Martinez kind of struggled when he first came in. Obviously, Peasley has a little bit of seniority over him right now because he was here throughout the spring. So I imagine come Saturday, we will be seeing Peasley before we see Martinez, but they're both going to get their share of reps. The Jets aren't going to be playing Aaron Rodgers. They don't really need Tyrod Taylor to do much. I wouldn't be shocked if Tyrod Taylor doesn't play in that game. There's a chance they just go Peasley and Martinez, and I'd be fine with that. But yeah, we'll see throughout the preseason which of them gets it. Martinez, I don't know if he's an NFL quarterback. I mean, it's awesome what he did in the UFL, and it was weird because they ran like two quarterbacks, Birmingham. So it's really weird that he won He won MVP while he didn't begin the year as their starter. And even when he did take over as the starter, they were still like doing a two quarterback system. So, but I guess he was on the championship team, so he won it. Not trying to discredit his honor. I'm just saying it was just a weird situation that they were doing there in Birmingham. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see which one of them ends up winning that job. Regardless, as far as the 53-man roster is concerned, I don't think either of them will be on there. I think that they will save that roster spot for somebody else. In theory, you could still elevate them on game days, but for those who don't know, the third quarterback rule only counts if you are on the 53-man roster. So they cannot elevate a quarterback from the practice squad to the active roster on game day and then leave them as like inactive and still have them be active. They would have to leave them as an active player. So all of that is to say that even despite that, I still think they'll just carry two quarterbacks. Not every team carried three quarterbacks last year, even though it is advantageous to do that. Unless one of Martinez or Peasley really show out this summer, I think they're cool with just keeping one of them on the practice squad.
Now, the big question that I have is, are they going to be cool with keeping Israel Abanikanda? Because
sure,
a lot of teams will go into the season with four or five running backs on their 53-man roster. Some go with three. You don't see that a lot, but it happens. Even though the Jets are going to run the ball a lot and they probably want to split carries between Braylon Allen and Breece Hall as best they can, considering how many times Breece Hall is going to touch the ball as a receiver, I still think there's a really good chance that they keep three running backs and this is it for Israel Abanikanda. Because I just don't see really the special teams value for Abanikanda right now, and that's really the only thing he can do at this point to have a spot. Because he's not going to beat out Breece Hall. He's not going to beat out Braylon Allen, who may have been the most impressive skill position player at camp so far, considering what we've seen and heard from Jets camp. And then Isaiah Davis, you know, he's the new hot guy. He's the new draft pick. I feel like there's probably a little more internal investment in Isaiah Davis because he's an unknown. And Abanikanda last year, let's be frank, he was not very good. They gave him a chance. Not a huge chance, but a chance. Didn't really excel. And then, of course, he had the special teams blunders, the return blunders when he was out there. And that's part of why I think they took Abanikanda, was they thought he could be a kick returner.
Yeah.
And he was not a very good kick returner. And Xavier Gibson proved to be superior there. And now with the new kickoff rules, I think Gibson's really going to be even more important this year. So that all eats into Abanikanda's value. I think they may just say, you know what? It didn't work out, almost like a Zonovan Knight thing. Like, let's just give you a chance to start fresh somewhere else, because I don't think it's going to happen with the Jets.
Yeah, James Gibby or Gilby in chat, excuse me, said Isaiah Davis is the new Ty Johnson, calling it out. Hey, man, I love Ty Johnson.
Totally different styles of play, though, but I could see it.
Yeah, as like an RB3 overachieves, I would love that. Ty Johnson is genuinely one of my favorite Jets of the last like 10 years. Also one of the coolest dudes I've ever had.
It's kind of sad, I'm not going to lie.
Well, you know me. I don't like – I don't really attach myself to, like, the star players normally, but he's also one of, like, the coolest
dudes. The fact that a player like Ty Johnson – like, other people are like, my favorite players are, you know, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, and we're like, oh, this backup running back.
Why is that sad? My first favorite player was Tanner Purdom. I love Darren Walls. I love Josh Baker. How many Jets fans out there remember Josh Baker, the tight end? Those are my guys. No, I love
Chris Baker, the tight end.
Chris Baker, sure. My love for Ty Johnson is not faded. I still think he's really, really good and genuinely very underrated. And it's unfortunate he got hurt this summer because he was going to be RB2 in Buffalo, and he impressed last year. But now he's hurt, and I think Ray Davis is going to steal a job. But anyway, yeah. So my 53-man roster projection is based off an article I did a few days ago. And on that article, I did have Israel Abanikanda making the roster, and it was one of the ones I was the most unsure about, and it was basically a placeholder. I'll say this, I would not be surprised if the Jets make another move here, and possibly that move is what they did earlier today. They signed Deion Jackson, who was formerly with the Indianapolis Colts. You know, he kind of had his issues with the Colts. He was not very good with them, and he bounced around a couple different teams last year, had some fumble issues too. I feel like he's more of just kind of a body that's going to be eating up some preseason carries, but maybe he's a move. Maybe he's a guy that makes the team. I'm going to switch my projection from what I had in the article, though, because I don't think Israel Abanikanda is making the team. And I put it there because I'm like, I don't know who else they have. If you asked me a week ago or a little over a week ago, I would have said Tariq Cohen, and then he retired. I thought Cohen had a real chance to make the team because of his special teams ability. But right now, I don't know if this is like a shock. I'm going to say that Xavier Valade makes the team over Israel Abanikanda. And that's going to be based on a couple things. One, if you go back to minicamp, Valade was getting reps with the first team offense. In fact, the first pass of minicamp was completed from Aaron Rodgers to Xavier Valade. Fun fact.
So Xavier, is that how you say it?
Xavier? I believe it's Xavier Valade. I remember when they picked him up last year. It's weird.
X-A-Z. How do you?
I believe it's Xavier. And that's, I looked it up last year, and that's the pronunciation that I think I remember. So I'm using that. I think he has a real chance to make the team. He was getting some reps with the first team offense. Hey, more Jets news. Robbie Chosen Anderson is working out with the 49ers today. So there's your Brandon Ayuk replacement. I think Xavier Valade, and the other thing I'm basing it off of is, and this is a very small sample size, of course, Valade did play in one game for the Jets last year. It was, I believe, the last game of the season. And when he did play, he was a regular on special teams in that game. And he was doing kick coverage. He was doing punt coverage. He was out there. He was out there for special teams. Israel Abanikanda played 5 special team snaps his entire rookie season. And I'm almost positive all 5 of those were him as a kick returner. The Jets,
one of which he fumbled. So
yes, one of which he fumbled. The other one, I think, one of the only ones that the other ones was returned was like 17 yards or something.
Wasn't another one the one with the whole Kenny Yeboah?
Was that the one he fumbled, or was that maybe that wasn't?
Didn't he fumble? No, Buffalo, he fumbled.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think you're right. And then the other one was the whole Kenny Yeboah thing where I said a thing on Twitter as a joke and Yeboah thought it was serious. And I was like, no, man, obviously that's going to hurt anyone. But anyway, yeah, I think it was that. But the Jets don't trust Israel Abanikanda on special teams. They don't trust him at all on offense. As we saw last year, he is already behind multiple rookies on the unofficial depth chart and in terms of snaps. He's basically getting the same reps that Xavier Valade is. So Valade gets the edge for me because I think that they trust him on special teams more than they do Abanikanda. And the other thing is, like, if Abanikanda was going to make the team and carve out any role, it was going to have to be through special teams, through as a return man. The Jets listed 6 guys on their unofficial team depth chart. And of course, these depth charts are made by the communications team, not by the coaching staff, so don't put too much stock in them. But they listed 6 players. Israel Abanikanda was not one of those 6 players. So he is not in consideration at all for the return man job. I don't think he makes the team. I know I put that on the article just because it was like a placeholder. Like, I think they carry 4 running backs. Right now, I'll say it's Xavier Valade. If they carry 3, I won't be stunned. If they carry Deion Jackson, I won't be stunned. I would be most surprised at this stage if Izzy Abanikanda was on a team, because I don't see what value he provides. I really don't.
I'm looking at the rest of this roster projections here, and I think the way we're going to go through this is to kind of go with some of the more controversial ones instead of just going position by position.
Well, we should list out the players anyway, even if we don't talk about it, just so we know.
Right, but yeah, we also want to get to that Commanders preview.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there, buddy. We'll get there. Don't worry.
So I'm looking at my depth chart here.
Sure.
Or my projections, rather. And I think we're also probably going to differ on wide receivers, because I have them keeping 7. Do you have them keeping 7?
I do not have them keeping 7.
All right. So
talk about it.
The first 5 are pretty obvious. You know, yeah. Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, Malachi Corley, Xavier Gibson, Alan Lazard. They're all going to be on the team.
Correct.
Those five are set. Then I have him also keeping Jason Brownlee and Irv Charles. Irv Charles almost exclusively for special team value. He was really good there last year. I believe Robert Saleh called him a wolf on special teams, which seems like a pretty ringing endorsement. And then Brownlee. I know Brownlee was not very good when he played last year, but undrafted free agent, Tim Boyle, Trevor Siemian, kind of what'd you expect? I'm willing to give him one more chance in a very limited role where he's probably not going to play a lot anyway. But if they're going to keep 7 and one of them's just exclusively for punt gunning and for kickoff coverage and stuff like that, if that's what one of the two is for, I think of the guys that they have in camp right now, just purely as a receiver, I think Brownlee's got the most value there. So I'd keep him around for a little bit. But I feel like he might be, if they have to add somebody else and subtract, I feel like he might be the first guy gone. But I'm willing to still keep him.
Yeah. Brownlee was one of my last cuts. I don't have him making the team, but that could very well change. We got 3 preseason games coming up. This is, I believe Robert Saleh said it a couple days ago, this is a very, very important few weeks for Jason Brownlee. He's kind of had a slow start to camp, but he's been coming on lately. And it's really going to be, can he force them to keep him on the roster? Because it doesn't seem like he has too much special teams value right now. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I don't believe he played much, if at all, on special teams last year. He played 13 special team snaps all year, and that was in 7 games. So I don't think that the Jets trust him, or at least they didn't last year on special teams. And the one thing to keep in mind when it comes to specifically the Jets, Brant Boyer, you know, special teams coordinator, Brant Boyer has a lot of say in roster control, like more than a lot of special teams coordinators do in the NFL. And that's kind of one of the biggest reasons that he's stuck around as long as he has through multiple different regimes, because they've given him that roster control. So if Brant Boyer wants Irv Charles in the roster, Irv Charles is going to be on the roster. And that's why I'm fairly confident that Charles is going to be here. The other reason is that Justin Hardy is, of course, gone. He left in the offseason, so your top gunner is gone. You got to replace him with the guy who replaced Hardy when he got hurt last year, and that's Irv Charles. So unless they're really confident in, like, maybe Brandon Echols and Quantes Stiggers or Jarek Bernard Converse or whoever being those gunners, I think Charles has that roster spot locked up. Whether they carry 7 or not is going to depend on what they do at other positions. The other guy to keep an eye on is Malik Taylor. I think there's absolutely a non-zero chance that he makes this team. He's had some good practices. I believe he's been banged up lately and he's missed time, but if he can come back and put together a strong finish to the summer, obviously he has experience with Aaron Rodgers, has experience with Nathaniel Hackett. That helps him. He is a little older. I think he's like 28. So not really a developmental guy as much as Brownlee is, but he's someone that I could see maybe sticking around. If they do carry 7 wide receivers, I want to see what they do on game days, because right now I wouldn't be shocked if they only have 5 wide receivers active on game days and Alan Lazard is inactive. So if they do that, maybe you'd have 2 wide receivers inactive, be Lazard and Brownlee or Lazard Taylor, whoever. I think that's going to be something interesting to watch. But yeah, I have them carrying 6. If they carry a 7th, I wouldn't be shocked. It's going to come down to can Brownlee or Taylor force their hands in the preseason.
And I think tight end, we're pretty much in agreement.
I don't know. You sent me the list earlier. I think I have a different thing than you. You have him only carrying 3.
Have Fertz making it, or
I have Fertz are making it.
Oh, as a fullback? Yeah, I feel like they'll just use Ruckert if they need a fullback.
I don't know. I think that was very intentional that they signed him and they released Baudin at the same time. I think they see him as his one-to-one replacement. Baudin was on the team last year. I think they carry 4. I think Furser is, I don't want to say lock, but I'm fairly confident he's going to make the team. He also has experience with Keith Carter and Todd Downing. That helps going back to Tennessee. I remember Ferkser when the Jets first signed him as an undrafted
free agent. I'm less excited about Ferkser now.
I'm not excited about him per se, but I think he's going to make the team, and I think he'll be the H-back, essentially, because I don't think Ruckert, they want him filling the role. I think they have Ruckert as that second tight end, because they're going to run a lot of 12 personnel. They're going to run a lot of 2 tight ends. I think it makes sense having Ferkser on the roster. And then Yeboah, I think Ferkser is more likely to make it than Yeboah. I don't know if that's a hot take, but Yeboah I have making it for special teams value. But if he's cut, I wouldn't be stunned.
James Gilby back again. What if we're about to sign Jarvis, being Jarvis Landry? I saw we worked him out recently. I wouldn't really put too much into that.
They did do that workout. They signed 2 other wide receivers. So I don't think Landry's going to happen. They brought in, was it Isaiah Winstead from the UFL, and then Brandon Smith, I believe also from the UFL. I think both of those guys are from the UFL. So 2 wide receivers signed from that workout. Neither of them were Jarvis Landry. Probably not bringing in Landry.
Done. It's time to go and be a family man, Jarvis Landry. You're done.
I don't think he played last year, Landry.
Wasn't with the Saints.
Not last year. I think he was out of football last year.
Yeah. Good career.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, he was a 5-time Pro Bowler. Do you know that?
I remember because when he had Adam Gase, he had 112 catches and he didn't have 1,000 yards.
Yep.
It's like, you have to try to do that.
It was a classic Jarvis Landry with the Dolphins year.
And I remember he talked about how he hated Adam Gase because the threat was always like, hey, if you aren't playing well at practice, I'm going to trade you to the Browns. And then, okay, fine. And then he actually got traded to the Browns.
I think offensive line we're going to be a little different on as well, because I did something that I might regret, but I did something interesting.
Well, I have him keeping 10.
Yeah, I don't. And that was the interest. I have him keeping 9, and I'm not confident in that at all, but – That's how
I have him keeping 10, just because I feel like if there's any spot where you want, I can, most teams probably keep 9, but
yeah,
if there's any spot, I think the Jets want to keep 10. I think it's here. So yeah, obviously the starters with, you know, Smith, Moses, Tippmann, AVT, Simpson, they're all there. Yep. Fashanu, obviously, Carter Warren, obviously. And then I have Max Mitchell, who's still around. He might be the guy. If they cut anybody, it'll be him. Not impressed with his play in the last couple of years. And then I have Wes Schweitzer and Jake Hansen as the other two.
Hanson was the final cut on my entire list. And I'm not confident in that at all. Because if they do that, that quite literally leaves the Jets with only one interior offensive lineman, like backup interior offensive lineman, and that's Wes Schweitzer. My rationale for it was Max Mitchell can play guard, which isn't great rationale, but he played guard.
That's horrible rationale. What are you talking about?
Last year, and I think Hanson and Newman would clear waivers, and they'd have them on the practice squad. Same with maybe Chris Glazer, and you could elevate them if need be. That was kind of my rationale. Looking back, I might change that. Maybe I drop Izzy and just have them keep another extra offensive lineman. Because I don't think I want to knock off any other players. I think it would probably be Izzy. But I have them keeping nine, and I'll stick with that for now. But I agree. If they do carry a 10th offensive lineman, Hanson makes the most sense. He played fine. I thought he was the best of all the random practice squad guys they brought in last year. I think he's better than Newman, better than Glazer. So. Sure. I would give the nod to Hanson if they carry a 10th. I agree with you.
And looking at the defensive line, I have 10 making it.
Same.
Deep. Stop me when there's a point of difference, because I feel like a lot of this is set in stone already.
Sure.
Reddick, who eventually he's going to play. Hassan Reddick. Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald, Michael Clemens.
Yep.
They're all set.
Yes, agreed.
Quinnen, Javon Kinlaw, Lecky Fotu, Solomon Thomas.
Yep.
They're all set. Tock McKinley, 9th.
Yep, I have him as well.
He's been crushing it, apparently.
Yes, he got hurt, and that's a little worrisome because he's missed the last few practices. I think he needs a strong finish to make it. But
and that was one of the problems, but not in Atlanta, but like trying to
keep
his career going, he kept getting hurt.
Yep.
And finally, either one of – because I really struggle with this, one of either Eric Watts or Leonard Taylor.
Yeah, we're pretty much – I think it's going to be Watts, but that was my 10, was McKinley and Watts.
Well, I guess it just depends if you want the versatile guy or the more traditional nose tackle – not nose tackle, but more traditional
3-10
in the dirt one tech guy, which is Taylor.
Yeah, he can play – I think he can do 3-10. He's athletic enough to do 3-tech too.
I thought he was too. Former 5-star recruit. I still don't know how he went undrafted. It surprises me to this day.
Lack of production, maybe work ethic concerns, whatever it was. I have not heard really much at all about Taylor this summer. So I don't think he's exactly lighting up. Watts has definitely been the more impressive of the two. But it's going to come down to the preseason. What do they do in the preseason? Other guys to keep an eye on, I think there's a real chance. Tanzel Smart, our guy, is back on the practice squad. I think Tanzel Smart – I've never seen like a career practice squatter like him. He's going to go on his 4th year with the Jets, all of which have been predominantly spent on the practice squad. When does that happen? Like, I think
good money if you can make it, man.
I think he actually joined him in 2020. Am I right? 2020 was his first year with the Jets. This man is going on his literally 20, 21, 22, 23. This, if he makes the practice squad this year, he'll be on the practice squad for half a decade.
Are you even allowed to do that?
Yeah, well, yeah. Now you can have veterans on the practice squad now. The last couple
I
of years,
know, but I felt like it was like those 2-way contracts for the NBA, where it was like if you're past like 3 or 4 years, they don't let you be on those anymore.
I think it's you can have 4 veterans with as many vested years as possible, as you know. As
oh, many that was a COVID thing. I remember,
and they've just kept it. I think it's 4 is the number. It's like a quarter of the practice squad. So if they want to use one of those in Tanzel Smart again, they can, and they can keep him around. He's basically just vibes. But like he's good vibes. Two other guys I'll throw out there that I think have a chance to make it and will at least maybe stick around the practice squad. Braden McGregor, who is kind of I feel like he's getting overlooked as like that third UDFA D lineman that they brought in. But
him or Tock. They can keep one, not both.
I like his athletic profile. I think if he bulks up even a little bit more, he might be able to even fill a similar like Eric Watts role. Like he's a pretty big guy. I think he's like 6'5", 265 or something, McGregor, or 260, something like that. He's a big dude. So I like his athletic profile. I haven't heard as much about him, but I think they at least keep him around a practice squad. And then Jalen Holmes, here's my outside the box roster prediction that I don't think is going to happen, but it's like, I'm just going to call my shot. Maybe it does. Jalen Holmes makes the team over Michael Clemens. Probably not going to happen. Maybe that's just me being down on Clemens. They fill a similar role. Clemens has not been very good. I think Clemens is like a possible surprise cut. I say that, but then he could also
– You go tell Michael Clemens to bring his playbook into Robert Saleh.
I say that, but then he's probably going to play 45% of snaps this year while Will McDonald plays 20, and there, that's probably going to happen. But, That's like a potential thing. Jalen Holmes played like 5 games last year. He fills a similar tweener role. Keep an eye on him, I guess.
I'm going to go give that guy bad news. You're dreaming.
I think we'll differ on linebacker as well, which have we differed on every single position other than – no, we've differed on every position so far.
All right, so linebackers, I only have them keeping – I have them keeping 5.
I have 5 as well, but I think we might differ on one of them.
Quincy, Mosley, Sherwood, Zaire Barnes. They're all in there for me.
Okay, I am already different. But go on.
Oh, you know Zaire Barnes?
No Zaire Barnes. But go on.
So I have Barnes and then Chaz Surratt.
Yeah, I just replaced Barnes with Sam Aguavin. That's a very boring prediction to make. We're talking about the fifth linebacker here.
Whoa, what a scintillating hot take.
I know. My take on it is, I mean, if they want to keep Zaire Barnes around as a developmental guy, that makes sense. My take on it was strictly special teams. If Barnes hasn't shown enough that they want to keep him around, I mean, I think they could also just keep him on the practice squad. But Aguavin sneakily played 70% of special team snaps last year. That man was active in almost every single game and was one of their core special teamers. So, again, I think they're going to try and keep him around in some capacity. The only time Zaire Barnes was active last year was when Chaz Surratt got hurt. And then when Surratt came back, Barnes was not active anymore. So they don't – like, clearly, at least as of last year, Surratt and Aguavin were ahead of him on the special teams depth chart. And if we're going off special teams, I think they try and keep those guys around and they try and sneak Barnes in the practice squad. We'll see if that happens. A strong summer from Barnes could solidify his roster spot. That's my prediction right now, but we'll see.
The secondary, I think we're in lockstep pretty much too.
I actually think we're to be fully in agreement here.
All right. So Sauce, Reed, Michael Carter, duh, obviously.
Yep.
Stiggers.
Yep.
He's been really good in camp from what I've seen.
Yeah, dude, I'm a Quantez Stiggers guy. We didn't mention it. Jamie and Sherwood, and like my two guys going into this year that I'm like, I think are going to be like future starters. Jamie and Sherwood, Quantez Stiggers. I am all in on both of those dudes. Let's go.
And then Eccles for special teams.
Yep.
And Jarper at Converse.
And Eccles is a fine backup. Like, he's versatile too. He could play nickel. I also have them keeping JVC. He's been moved back
to the show, JVC.
JVC, is that a show? What? Oh, friend of the show. Yes, friend of the show, Jarek Bernard-Converse. We interviewed him right before he got drafted by the Jets. He's moved back to corner, and he's had a good summer. So I do think he makes the team as well.
That's where he was primarily, Oklahoma State, before the LSU transfer. And then safety, Tony Adams, Chuck Clark, Ashton Davis, and Isaiah Oliver, a recent position convert. He was a cornerback with San Francisco, and a bad one with them and Atlanta, so hopefully safety. Yeah. A little bit better for him there, but I feel like that's good. And obviously the special teamers, Zerline, Morstead, Thomas Hennessy.
Yeah.
All right. Locked in until something drastic happens.
No Austin Seibert love?
No Austin Seibert love. He can kick rocks as far as I'm concerned, because Greg Zerline's better kicking footballs.
There, I was gonna make that joke, but you got me there. Yeah, we disagreed about every position group up until the last two or three, if you want to just combine secondary into one.
And then I'm sure Robert Saleh is going to give us a couple curveballs. But yes, Before that, we got an actual game to talk about. A real live game against the Washington Commanders. This one I'm actually kind of interested in because Jaden Daniels is going to start and play for a little bit, from what I've heard. So we get to see why they let the Patriots get Drake May, which I'm still not very happy about.
Dude, did you see the reports? I mean, it's super early and it doesn't matter, but people are like, Joe Milton's out playing Drake May.
Nah, I put probably 0.5% stock into that. See,
I think Joe Milton is perfectly suited to thrive in a practice environment.
This is look where he got his hype, the combine, where he can chuck it 70 yards.
Yeah. But what, you know how pissed I'd be if Joe Milton actually became a viable NFL quarterback and was with the Patriots? I would be so mad.
Like, I mean, I like him I liked watching him play. I mean, it was frustrating because they ran the most basic offense ever and he would miss throws, but occasionally he'd just bomb at 70 yards. You're like, whoa, this guy's a freak.
Yep.
Like, I feel like obviously I wasn't around like when he was in his prime, but. And he's not going to be this good, but I felt like when people describe like how Randall Cunningham would throw, like it was kind of like that without the
he's basically ability. What people like what Josh Allen haters thought he was going to be. That's or like he exactly, maybe me as well. Or like I feel like in a worst case scenario, he's going to be Tyree Jackson.
tight end. I thought he was a pro prospect, Tyree Jackson.
He is still in the NFL to this day. Tyree Jackson is a tight end who, weird fact, I was just looking this up. I believe he's like one of the lowest rated players in Madden who's not a long snapper. I think he's like a 50 overall or something. Poor guy.
He's not a great graduate of the Logan Thomas School of Tight Ending. But
no.
The main thing I'm looking for as we get back to Jets Commanders, the main thing I'm looking for, honestly, is offensive creativity. And I know that sounds weird in the preseason, because typically the preseason you play with kitty gloves and you run a very basic offense. There are 90 guys here. Half of them aren't going to play in the NFL past this, set of preseason games. It's very basic. These guys have never played with each other. So a lot of times they tone it down a lot. But honestly, if I'm Nathaniel Hackett, I want to see him open the toolbox a little bit, just because we know when Aaron Rodgers is under center, he's basically his own coordinator. He's calling his own plays. He's drawing up plays in the dirt. Like that famous play against the Cowboys where he threw it 40 yards to Jared Cook. He just drew that up in the dirt, like in the backyard. So you run a post pattern, and it worked. That's the kind of guy he is. So we know that Hackett kind of has his responsibility taken away from him when Rodgers is there. This, because Rodgers is not going to play in the preseason, ideally is the time when Hackett's going to have the most control over his offense. So God forbid if something happens again with Rodgers, I need to get more confidence in Nathaniel Hackett. I want to see him and Tyrod Taylor do things they wouldn't normally do in a good way. And Washington's defense, I know they got Dan Quinn as a defensive guy, and they spent a ton of money on that side of the ball. It's still not very good, and they're still going to be playing a lot of backups. This is a very exploitable defense, and I think that this is the perfect time for Hackett to go, you know what? I am a good coordinator. Watch me cook. I don't know if he will, but in my ideal situation, irrespective of the score, that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see that. I don't think it's going to get that. You can dream. I think they're going to run a super basic offense. If there's one thing that I feel like we've learned about Tyrod Taylor, especially over the last few years as he's transitioned into a backup role, he is remarkably conservative and safe with the ball. I don't think
play like Patrick Mahomes and throw 50 yards, but at least mix some stuff up.
I think they'll be very safe with him in the game if he even plays. I'm not even positive he's going to play on Saturday. And then I don't think they're going to do any complex shit going on with Andrew Peasley and Adrian Martinez. Maybe they'll run some read option or something with Adrian Martinez, get him moving, get him outside the pocket. Probably suits his style a little bit more, but I don't think it'll be anything crazy. I feel like they'll keep it pretty toned down. I'm not going to have too many big takeaways. I'm looking at this Commanders roster, and I want to see what one former Jet who is back on the Commanders who we're probably going to see on Saturday. I did not realize
that's followed with an answer.
I was just seeing you to guess. Jamison Crowder. I did not realize he re-signed with Washington.
He's still in the league?
Jamison Crowder just re-signed with Washington, and so the Jets will probably be facing him. Crowder, who led the Jets in receiving a couple years in a row, he is on their team and listed as their fifth wide receiver or something.
I give him credit. He was on some horrendous teams, and
he was.
Never once did he complain. He was playing hard.
He was genuinely one of the better players in those teams as well. Which is not saying much, but yes. It's not. Quarterbacking, who's going to be quarterbacking for Washington most likely? Because I assume Mariota is not going to play a ton. So after Jaden Daniels comes out, the two quarterbacks they have on their roster are Jeff Driskel, who, talk about a guy, he's still in the league? Yeah, Jeff Driskel is still on an NFL roster.
Former savior of Florida football, Jeff Driskel. He was after Tebow. He was the next in line.
He was, and he started the game for the Browns last year, Jeff Driskel. I don't know if you remember that. When they benched all their starters, they benched Flacco, who was their starter. He started the last game of the year. And Sam Hartman. So we're going to get Sam Hartman versus Adrian Martinez, fourth quarter preseason football. That's going to be amazing.
It looks like Brad, who we work with, Sam Hartman.
He does, right? Sam Hartman's a good-looking dude. So that's a compliment. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
But a couple guys I'm probably keeping an eye on for the Jets. I think the biggest thing is wide receiver. I'm really interested to see how that shakes out, because we're not going to get Mike Williams playing in this game. Gibson just returned, so he's probably playing. I don't think Garrett Wilson's playing much. I don't think Garrett Wilson will play on Saturday. That's my prediction. So you're going to get a lot of reps from Malachi Corley. I'm very, very, very interested and excited to see what – if they do get creative, it's going to be with Malachi Corley. And I want to see what they do to get him involved in the offense and how much he's playing and how much he can not only win on those trick plays, but if he starts winning as an actual wide receiver, like if he's just winning his routes, dude, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon because I'm not there yet. I'm still very, you know, I don't want to say skeptical. I'm waiting and seeing how they're going to integrate him into the offense this year. But I think Saturday is going to be the first test where we're like, all right, this is how he might work in this offense this year. And then, of course, the other guys we already talked about, Jason Brownlee, can he force the Jets' hand and make the roster? Malik Taylor, what's he going to do? Can he make the Jets' roster? A guy that I'm keeping on as well, who find another Jets podcast talking about, Lance McCutcheon. But Lance McCutcheon was a preseason standout a couple of years ago at the Rams. I believe he led the preseason, led the NFL in receiving yards that preseason, that summer, made the team as a huge long shot. Didn't really get an opportunity after that. Now he's kind of bounced around. Like, I think he was on the practice squad last year with the Jets, or he signed. Yeah, he was on a practice squad late. Like, he signed in October. So he's somebody who's made a few plays in training camp. The preseason seems to be where he thrives. Maybe he thrives in the preseason again this year. I don't know. I'm throwing a guy out there who I think a lot of people aren't talking about, but somebody who might be able to make a few plays. So I'm keeping an eye on wide receiver. Mike, who are you looking at? What players are you keeping an eye on?
Well, I think you missed the big former Jet there, because Frankie Louvu is also on this Commanders
defense.
Well,
yeah, but he's a starter. We're probably not going to see much of him.
Looking at the Jets, you did steal my thunder with Corley, because I did want to see.
Sorry, my bad.
If your vision comes true and we see an ultra conservative plan, that's probably going to mean a lot of Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis touches.
Yes.
And I'm excited to see both of them, mostly because I want to see one of them kind of differentiate themselves, because these are both like one cut power guys. I know Allen, as we said before, can kind of dance a little bit, probably more than a guy his size will. And for Isaiah Davis, who's a little smaller, sometimes it's a little bit of too much power and you're like, well, yeah, you could bounce it outside and a little better. So I want to see how they're improving in those respective areas. And I think we'll get a few touches with them where we could actually see that. And then looking at the secondary too, if Quantez ends up playing a lot of the game,
yeah, he should.
Then this could be, I think, his coming out party. I legitimately think he's got a shot to win the Dimeback job. And also, we didn't talk about this guy. I mean, the Jets did draft Jalen Key, safety from Alabama, Mr. Irrelevant. He's got an uphill battle to climb. The fact that you were a starting Alabama defensive back and you almost went undrafted, I think kind of speaks to what the NFL thought of him overall as a prospect. Kind of not a great coverage guy, which as a safety is kind of big. I'm not going to lie. You got to be able to cover people in this league as a safety. But if he's turned it around, because he always was a good athlete and he's big, he's like 6'2", 215. It's big safety. If he's turned it around, why couldn't he make this final roster? Why couldn't he bump Isaiah Oliver out of there or somebody like that? Why couldn't he bump Jarrett Bernard Converse out of there? He has all the talent needed to.
Yeah. I think Oliver is probably safe. I think they like guaranteed most of his contracts. He's probably not going anywhere. But, yeah, he could push JBC, Jarrett Bernard Converse, for a spot. That's somebody else I'm keeping an eye on as well. I really want to see what Jarrett Bernard Converse can do, because he's back to his natural position at corner. That's the position he played for most of his college career, like you said, at Oklahoma State before he transferred. So I'm very interested to see what he can do. Obviously, I'm very interested to see what Quantez Stiggers can do. I think I said this earlier on the show, or earlier, you know, in the summer. I think there's a very decent chance that, especially if Stiggers can prove his worth this summer and this preseason, he might be a starting cornerback for the Jets next year, because they might let DJ Reed walk. And if they do, they're gonna look internally and see if they have any guys who can step up and fill that role. And I think Quantez Stiggers makes the absolute most sense right now. I just, with someone like him, I've learned to not bet against guys who have continuously exceeded expectations everywhere they've been, who have been praised for their work ethic, who, I mean, there's not a person who's got a bad thing to say about Quantez Stiggers from any, you know, from any account I've seen. Those are guys you bet on, guys who just consistently are exceeding what they were expected to do. And I think he's proven that he can play at every level he's played at. And obviously he hadn't played at a high level until this spring, this summer, but he showed that he's an NFL talent. And I don't think it's wise to bet against guys like that. So I'm definitely interested to see him. And then I really want to see Jamien Sherwood, Mike. I really want to see Jamien Sherwood. I think he's going to play a lot. They have some undrafted linebackers, but I doubt Mosley's playing in this game. You're probably not going to see Quincy Williams. So that means Jamien Sherwood probably gets the start. And I've been saying it for a while. I think the Jets have been grooming him to be that that Mike linebacker who takes over for CJ Mosley eventually. It might not be as soon as next year, but it could be. And I think Sherwood is a starting caliber linebacker in the NFL, and I hope it's with the Jets, possibly as soon as next year, maybe 2026. So that's another guy that I'm definitely keeping a close eye on.
And with that, I think we're going to officially call time on this last episode of the Jet Press Podcast. So, of course, thank you for tuning in. As always, you know where to find us: to Apple, Google, Spotify, Overcast. We're on all the podcast platforms and YouTube. You could like the stream. You could subscribe. They're all really big helps. Justin, now that football's back, or at least it will be this weekend, how are we feeling about the Jets?
I am, as always, cautiously optimistic, Mike. I can't get my hopes up. I can't go into the season being like, yep, the Jets are definitely winning 12 games. All I can say is they look pretty good, man. They look pretty good. This team should be good. Let's hope they are. Let's hope for good health, and especially for the preseason. Let's hope that the Jets get out of the preseason, that preseason without any major injuries. We will be back, of course, next Wednesday, breaking down everything that we already saw in the first preseason game. That is, I believe, noon Eastern time this Saturday. But until then, thank you all for joining us on the show today. You can follow Mike on Twitter at @ByMikeLuciano. Follow me on Twitter at Justin T. Freed. Follow the Jet Press at the Jet Press. Can't find our live streams there anymore. Thanks, Elon Musk. But you can, of course, still follow us on YouTube or subscribe, like, hit that notification bell. Check us out on Facebook as well. We stream there too. We stream live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you all for listening to Jet Press Podcast. I've been Justin Freed. That has been Mike Luciano. We'll see you guys next time.
Welcome back, Jets football.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.